Amen. Well, turn with me today, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 for a message entitled, Following Jesus Involves Missions. Each year at this time, we have our Missions Emphasis Sunday, like today, where we give this special offering and we some pledge to give throughout the year. But we also have a missions-related sermon, and usually it's when I share the vision with you for missions for the following year, which I'll do today as best that we can. Luke chapter 10, very important passage, I believe, that shows the heart of Jesus towards evangelism and missions and our involvement in it. We're going to begin reading God's holy and infallible word at verse 1 and read through verse 16 of Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such as they give. For the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick there, and say to them, The kingdom of God has come near you. But whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into its streets, and say, The very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, O Lord, that it is being shared all over the world. And I thank you, Lord, that you sent your people into every city and every place so that the gospel of the kingdom of God could be shared. And yet our hearts break this morning to think that some people still reject you today. They think they reject us and the message, but according to this word, they reject you as Lord and Savior. We praise your name that some receive you. They gain eternal life. They receive this gift of grace, and they're still doing it today. The harvest is great, Lord. I pray that you would encourage us by your Spirit and your Word today to be involved in the harvest. The sharing of the gospel that souls might be saved, that there might be others in heaven who've heard the glorious gospel that we have heard, many of us, and responded to. Lord, if there be one here today or online who's not saved, I pray that your Holy Spirit would show them the need for that salvation. Lord, I pray that they would not reject you today, that they would receive you. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I want you to see five things today about missions. Number one, I want you to see the command that causes us to go. In verse 1, it says, After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Jesus has always been in the business of sending disciples out. to share the gospel and to do ministry in Jesus' name. He sends us to every city and place that He Himself is about to go. The sending, of course, is extended to all of us in the Great Commission, and we know that, so that evangelism and missions is a primary way to follow Jesus. I like something Scott McKnight said to make it plain and clear. Those who aren't following Jesus aren't His followers. It's that simple. And I want to submit to you today, friend, that following Jesus involves doing missions. Dr. Bill Hennard is the executive director treasurer of the West Virginia Baptist Convention and also serves as adjunct professor of church revitalization for the Southern Baptist Seminary. He wrote a book to try to help plateaued and even dying churches see the errors that were common. And he especially stresses the area of missions. He said plateaued churches move missions from a strategy to a program. It begins to involve fewer people in the church and becomes less about what the church does and more about a programmatic philosophy. Support for denominational and network missions remains strong, but because missions has been moved to a program that the church does instead of the character of who the church is, a growing sentiment develops to move missions to a secondary level behind ministry. Evangelism begins to translate to something the pastor or a small group does. Now, I tell you, friend, that is a big danger sign. It is a big turning point that a lot of churches that eventually die or that quit growing do submit to. They put missions on the back burner. Now, I do think that we at Highland do a reasonably good job of missions being the character of our church. We think of it as Highland as something that the whole church does. Practically all of us give and we raise money together and we pray together and we work towards missions and mission trips together. We see it as a church-wide effort. Amen? Amen. I just want to say to you today, friend, how important it is and how biblical it is that keep occurring. If we ever relegate missions to a small group or to the pastor or to only one committee, then the whole church cannot expect the blessing of God. It is a great and marvelous thing, and it's as it ought to be, that when we work towards missions, practically the whole church is involved in it. I'm just thankful, Lord, that's part of the character of our church. We must follow Jesus, and following Jesus involves missions. He sent us out. He sent all of His disciples out. He sent every church out. And missions is one of the primary purposes of the church. So if we follow Jesus, we're going to be doing missions, the command that calls us to go. Secondly, I want you to see the prayer that calls us to go. In verse 2, then He said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers in His harvest. Now, it's certainly biblical to pray for the lost, that they might believe and be saved. This is in keeping with what Paul said in Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. And so Paul had kinsmen, he had family members, fellow Israelites that were lost, and his heart's desire and his prayer to God even was that those folks might be saved. And so I'll say to you today, friend, if you have lost family members or those you think might be, you surely ought to be praying for them. If you have small children that are growing, you ought to be praying already that whenever they're able to understand that they would come to Jesus as Lord and Savior and respond to the gospel. If you have close family members or friends who are unbelievers, you ought to have them on your prayer list and be praying that the Holy Spirit of God would open their blind eyes and to help them see the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go on a mission trip somewhere, our church should be praying, and I believe that we are, that people will be saved and gain eternal life as they follow Jesus as Lord. When we pray for our worship services, we ought to be praying that people get saved and respond to the gospel in the worship services, that the kingdom might grow, that our church might grow, and that people would be saved and have abundant life and eternal life instead of life that's not abundant and life that's not eternal, but death that is eternal instead. So this issue, friend, of praying for the lost, yes, it's biblical and it's important, but here's something I want you to know today, friend. The emphasis on the New Testament is really like this verse in Luke. We ought to pray that folks will be obedient to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is where the emphasis is in the Bible. And here's the deal, friend. Some folks complain, well, you know, folks just won't believe in the gospel. But that's not what Jesus said. He said the harvest is plentiful. The problem is people won't share the gospel. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send out people into the harvest to share the gospel. So we do want to share the gospel, and we want to plan to do missions every year. And I want to share as best I can the vision that we have for 2021. We all know that it's a very unusual and unprecedented time, right? We know about the pandemic and the travel and ministry problems that it's caused. It's hard to plan anything, but we must seek the Lord's guidance and plan. We know that he sent us out, but how do we plan for it now? How do we plan for it with the uncertainty? Well, certainly I prayed and continue to pray about that. I've thought through things. I've talked with IMB missionaries and people in Ecuador. I've talked with the folks at the Mississippi Baptist Convention, especially in the missions mobilization area. They have helped us on many of our foreign mission trips. And I've talked with them seeking wisdom about the world situation and considering what other churches are planning to do this coming year. I've asked you to pray. And that issue remains on our prayer list, wisdom and direction for missions for 2021. I've met with our missions committee, and we have been unified in what I propose to you today. For one thing, we are in the middle of a three-trip commitment. Normally, that would be a three-year commitment, but we know we couldn't go in 2020. But we're in the middle of a three-trip commitment to Salasaca, Ecuador, to work with them to try to plant two church plants during that three-trip time. And I believe that we ought to have a sign-up with the hope of sending a team to Ecuador in July. And if that materializes, the dates would be July 10th through 17th. The typical week that we do it is the first full week after the week that July the 4th is in. And that would be the week that we would target. We, of course, will have to pray for God to speak through the circumstances even now. It would certainly be understandable if we have a smaller team, like seven people or nine people or something like that. But there's no consensus about the pandemic, you know, when the vaccine will really be out to the general population. Some are saying as early as January. Some are saying as late as June or July before that gets out to the general population. And then, you know, some are saying that they won't take that or whatnot, and you know, who the airlines are probably going to require it for people to travel in the near future, something that people would want to know that might sign up to go. No one knows that this pandemic will truly be in the rearview mirror in a couple of months or 6 months, or is it going to take a year? Now, I want to say to you one thing real quick about the vaccine. I want you to know, I feel like it's my responsibility to inform you that some of those vaccines are more moral than others. And the as far as I can research and tell, the one from Pfizer and Merck is okay. It wasn't developed like the one from Johnson & Johnson and some other companies that were developed using abortive tissue. And, you know, I'm going to ask where mine came from and be sure it's one of those moral places or the ones that develop this morally instead of those that used abortive tissue. So I just throw that word in there and say, hey, you know, be careful. Do your research. You know, check the facts. It's okay. Most of them, I checked it out, their websites are very upfront about how it was developed. So I'm thankful for that. So that the truth is apparently not trying to be hidden on how things were developed. But know that that is something that we'll have to deal with probably. So with all the uncertainty, I and the committee believe we ought to have a secondary plan. You know, if at all possible, I sure don't want there to be another year like 2020 where we didn't have any mission trip. Now, we couldn't. You know, things were just too uncertain and you know, things about COVID were very much unknown at that time. But the secondary plan would be to, if we're unable to go to Ecuador, to do a one-time trip to the Delta area of Mississippi to work with the church. It would be similar to our West Virginia trips that we did, where we would do VBS-type work with children during the day and some evangelism during the afternoon, and hopefully having revival meetings at night at whatever church we were working with. There are many churches that this idea came from the Mississippi Baptist Convention seeking people to work with Delta churches. Many Delta churches are dying, to be quite honest, and they're wanting help so that they don't die. There are churches being planted in the Delta. As some churches die, there are other churches being planted, and they're trying to get off the ground to do church with this current generation and to be the light of the gospel over there. And so they want help to come alongside them. And I do have contacts in the Delta. But that's something that we could plan in a couple of months and have another sign up for that. If we determined about March or April that Ecuador is just not going to happen, then we could swap gears and put a team together. And it would probably look different than a team to Ecuador. We could probably use more of our teenagers on a trip like that. When we went to West Virginia, we had, namely, it was mostly Cindy cooking the meals that we'd have for night after our services, and that would attract people to come, knowing that they didn't have to worry about supper that night. And it gave us time to fellowship and share the gospel. We actually had some folks saved at the mealtime, as we'd share the gospel of Jesus Christ in that laid-back time after the service, or people that would ask a question about the gospel. And, of course, you know, there's the possibility. We don't know what's going to happen with the virus by then. We might not be able to do either one. But our hope to God and our prayer is that He shows us His will for this coming year. But along with that secondary possibility, I and the committee further believe that any money given towards missions in 2021, really from this point forward, be marked mission trip. Now, we're not talking about the special offering day. We know that goes towards Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon, Margaret Lackey. That's just marked missions. But in the new year, we want to give our money to the mission trip marked mission trip instead of Ecuador, so that if Ecuador doesn't happen, we use that money to go to the Delta trip. And anything that's left over, we leave in the same annual mission trip fund, and it's used for future Ecuador trips or wherever God might lead us to go. But the reason for that is when we raise money in the past and the money that's in the annual mission trip fund now, we specifically told folks that's for Ecuador. We're raising money for Ecuador. So we don't think it would be right to use that money and do something else. And so, you know, a trip to the Delta probably wouldn't cost $10,000 or $11,000 to send a pretty good-sized trip. You know, it would mostly be a place to stay and some meals. And we could potentially use our own VBS package that we do here, do it again in that place, or use a package that we've done in the past. We wouldn't have to buy much material in order to do this. So we understand there's some uncertainty. We understand there's two possibilities. We understand if we just can't do anything, we'll have to accept that as God's will for this time in the way of mission trips. But if you're supportive of those possibilities and you understand that we're trying under God to do something to keep us faithful to ministry, if you plan to be supportive of mission trip efforts in 2021. Say praise Jesus. Amen. That sounded pretty supportive to me, and I appreciate that. Friend, I tell you, it's really a church effort, and a big part of that is prayer. We pray that God will send us and send out laborers into the harvest to share that gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. The command, the prayer. Third, I want you to see the danger with which we go. Verse 3, go your way. Behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. Yes, there's an element of risk and danger in doing missions. Of course, friend, there's really danger, toils, and snares in all of life in general. But certainly it's true in mission trips too. Could you get sick? Yes, it's possible. Could you get robbed? Yes, it's possible. Could you have an accident of some kind on the mission field, on a mission trip? Yes, it's possible. Could you have some persecution of some kind? Yes, it's possible, and it has happened to us, not to major degrees, but some. We must acknowledge, friend, that there is some danger, and yet the gospel is important enough that we accept the dangers and the risks. Now, we do pray for safety. We do plan for safety. We have sentinel training. We have training to tell us how to act in certain situations that might happen. But I tell you, friend, at the end of the day, the gospel is a top priority. And that's the way it ought to be. That's the way Jesus said for it to be. You know, some people say safety is our top priority. Well, in some situations. But I tell you, friend, when it comes to sharing the gospel, safety is not the top priority. It's second to the top priority. Top priority is sharing that gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, you know, James gave his life for it. Stephen gave his life for it. Paul was shipwrecked for it, beat many times, and ultimately he died for it. I tell you, friend, Jesus went to the cross so that we'd have a gospel to share. The gospel is a top priority. Can I get amen? Amen. That's the way it is. According to Jesus, I send you out as lambs among wolves. He knows that there's danger involved. Fourth, I want you to see the authority with which we go. Verse 16, who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. Jesus said it too in the Great Commission, that we go in his authority. We go in the authority of Jesus Christ. And this really is a big deal, friend. Our eternally important message that we share has the authority of Jesus Christ behind it. And so if people reject the gospel, they really are rejecting Jesus and eternal life. And he says it'll be more tolerable for Sodom, friend, on Judgment Day than if someone has the privilege of hearing the gospel and they reject it. It's a great blessing to even hear the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ so that you can know how to be saved. Think, friend, about if your house was burning and a fireman rushes in to show you the way and escort you out to safety. And friend, if you refuse and you say, no, I'm not going out of here. Well, friend, your blood's on your own hands. You know, at that point, you ought to respond to that message of salvation. And with the gospel, friend, it's even more urgent than that. We go in the authority of Jesus to share this message. And the fifth thing, I want you to see the message with which we go. It's amazing to me that Jesus says share the message with both crowds. Say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out in its streets and say, the very dust of this city which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you, it'll be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. You see, whether people accept or reject, our duty is to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, so that people have the opportunity. And that's what we're going to do, friend. The results is left up to the Holy Spirit and God. We ought to do the best we can at sharing the message, being clear with the gospel, letting people know they have to admit that they're a sinner. They have to believe that Jesus paid on the cross for our sins. They have to believe that he was raised from the dead. They have to confess that they're ready to follow him as Lord. All of that, friend, is the gospel. We have to be clear with that. Not make people think it's easy believism. They can assent to the facts, but they don't have to follow Jesus. No, friend, the demons believe in the facts and tremble, right? They know Jesus is the Son of God. They know he walked out of that grave. They're not saved because they're not following Jesus as Lord. We have to be careful, friend. They have to make a decision to follow Jesus as Lord. And those who aren't following Jesus aren't his followers, remember? It's that simple. One Christian testified of a mission opportunity. He said, genuine love opens doors for witnessing opportunities. On my recent mission trip, he said, my brothers and I went to the beach in Haiti. Although it was beautiful, it was filled with poverty. Many people were digging sand so that they could sell it. My brother said, let's help them. We both grabbed shovels and we started helping them dig. In a matter of seconds, laughter erupted on the beach. People were filled with joy and surprise that Americans were being put to work. The Americans they see there typically aren't working. Everyone gathered around to watch. After 10 minutes of digging, we noticed the hand of God. It was a perfect opportunity to witness. We told everyone to come over so we could preach the gospel to them and pray for them. In just a few seconds, we were surrounded by attentive eyes. We preached the gospel and prayed for the people one by one, and someone got saved. It was such a powerful moment that stemmed from a small act of kindness in our eyes. The people on the beach were so thankful. They knew we cared for them and that we were from the Lord. Evangelism is dead, he said, when there's no love. Why do you go on missions? Is it to brag? Is it because everyone else is going? Is it to do your Christian duty and say, I did that already? Or is it because you have a heart that burns for the lost and the broken? Missions are not things that we do just for a while. Missions last a lifetime. And I say a hearty amen. Friend, let me ask you today, are you ready to do missions? Are you as a church committed still to missions? Will you give together? Will we work together? Will we go together? And will we pray? The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray. The Lord of the harvest, send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Following Jesus involves missions, and those who aren't following Jesus aren't his followers. It's just that simple. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for the message of the kingdom of God, the gospel itself, Lord, that Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins, and he paid for the sins of everyone, so that the Bible says he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for those of the whole world. It would just be incredible, and yet we know it's going to happen, that Jesus has paid for some sins and offers the free gift. And yet there will be some that hear that message of salvation, yet they'll reject it. And I pray, dear Lord, that they would see in this passage today the degrees of judgment, Lord, and that even Sodom, with all of its sin, and the way that you'll certainly judge them, it'll be more tolerable for them on the day of judgment than those who hear this message and how to be saved. If they reject it and remain lost. Lord, I just, having known about the change you made in my heart, about the abundant life that's possible, about having Jesus beside us when we go and do missions, when we live life, when we have tragedies in life, when we have tough times, when we have the storms, we'll always have Jesus in the boat with us, those who are saved. I just know the importance, Lord, of people being in the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of this world and the evil one. Lord, I pray if anybody's hanging on the fringes, if anybody maybe made some decision at the point, but they know they've got to admit today that they're really not following Jesus, and that means they're not his followers. I pray that they become one of those followers today. That they come at invitation time. Say, I want to follow Jesus as Lord. I know you'd save them, Lord, because that's a confession you told us had to be on our lips. If we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. Lord, have your own way with us today. Maybe people need to come pray for other reasons at the altar with the pastor. And maybe you're calling some into missions and ministry full time. Maybe you're calling some to be involved with our church-wide effort, and they haven't really been involved, and they need to admit that to you today. I just pray that we'd see your glory in this invitation time as people get right with you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me invite you.